This is Together, an Ada Bible Church podcast about the world of marriage, where we attempt to invite you to explore the ways marriage works and doesn't work. From practical ways of learning to biblical inspiration, we invite you to listen to other professionals and couples to help enrich your marriage.
Well, hey, Together listeners, we are so excited for this episode today. And by we, I mean myself and I have some friends. My name is Corey Olson, one of the hosts of the Together podcast, and I have some awesome friends joining with us today. Brad Holmes and Sam Shukavgal from Union, which is our young adult ministry here at Ada Bible Church. So hi, friends.
Hey.
Yeah. Hello. Yes.
Good job with the last name, Shubkegel. That's a mouthful.
So. I kind of sped through it just in case.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, you went for it. Thank you.
We did. So, just to jump in and get to know you guys before we jump into our topic. But we invited you guys today, working with young adults at Ada. That's kind of the age that one might date, I would say. And I know you guys have said, no, we're not the experts, but for our purposes today, you are the experts on dating well. And so I'm super excited for this conversation. But let's just get a chance to meet you guys. So, Brad, why don't you start? What you do at Ada and then family, all that kind of good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I have been the pastor for young adults for 14 years. And now I've jumped into also heading up our North Satellite. And every once in a while, have opportunities to lead us on weekends.
Which we love. We love hearing from you.
Yeah.
On weekends, Brad. Very fun.
Yeah. I've been married for 18 years, so it's been a long time since I dated. Mm-hmm. So, we are not the experts, but we often find ourselves in conversations with young adults who are dating or who have dated or who are interested in dating. And this seems to be a really big topic that people are seeking God's wisdom.
See, Brad, I date my wife every day, I am still familiar.
The philosophy of dating, we'll talk about it now.
Yeah. No, that's a nice idea, right? Yeah, you're still dating. I help with small groups at Union, so I'm full-time as our small groups director, which has a couple different parts to it. I've been on staff for 2.5 years at Ada Bible, and I've been married to my wife, McKenna, for 5 years now.
Very nice. And did you guys say kids, both of you?
I don't think I said kids. I have 3 boys. My oldest twins are 16 and then my youngest boy is 13.
16-year-old twins. Mm-hmm. That is fun.
They just got driver's licenses.
Whoa.
And yes, our world has changed.
Yeah.
Do they share a car or how does that work?
Yep. Which adds a whole lot of anxiety because they get along a lot, but there are times when they don't get along and I don't know. To be in a car together when they're not getting along.
Yeah.
They have to be play nice in order to drive together.
Yes.
I like that. And then Sam, you guys, kiddos?
Yeah, we have 2 girls. So we've got a 2-year-old, a zero-year-old. She'll be one soon.
Aww.
And then we've got a little boy on the way.
That's right.
We'll be shooting for the hashtag 3 under 3 and hoping that they're not all in diapers at once. We're working through that right now. So
I cannot imagine that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's a good life.
Well, thanks for just jumping into this conversation. I'm super excited to hear from your perspectives. And when we were talking earlier too, I mean, yes, you work in the, I mean, mainly 20s, right? 20-year-olds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sector. But when we were talking earlier, it was
20-year-old sector.
That was very formal.
I love it. Yeah. We should welcome people with that. Welcome to.
Which I guess there's probably some later teens in there too. But
no, yeah, it's all good.
I think, like we were talking earlier about, like maybe you are in a different spot in dating. Like maybe you were married before and jumping back in, or maybe you haven't dated in a long time. And so we recognize that you might be in a different spot than, you know, just like that 20-year-old spot of dating. But there's a lot of different reasons of how and where and why you're dating now.
I think there'd be a lot of parents who are listening who have a teenager or a young adult who is entering into that season of trying to find a spouse and what does dating look like?
Yeah.
And,
so may this be an encouragement to parents too, or for your 0-year-old, we don't have to talk about that yet.
Oh, not yet.
Yeah. Well, I think it'd be really fun, just to get into this a little bit. This is just a silly question to get to know you guys a little bit better too. But I'm so curious, what did we all do on our first dates with our current spouses?
Can you go first? I want to hear what you did.
Sure. Yes. I love telling this story, so I'll make it brief. But my husband's name is Colin. We met at like in college at Cornerstone.
Yeah.
First date was one of the Hunger Games movies just came out. So we went to go see that. But first we had dinner at Fujiyama.
Oh, nice.
Very fun. Then
did like in, they cooked in front of you?
Oh
like
yeah.
That one? Okay.
Yep.
All right.
So
yeah.
Good.
Wow.
So a few anniversaries, we'll do that. And then the movie, and then it was like one of those things where you didn't want to stop talking. So it was like, let's go walk around Gaslight Village and get a coffee. And then it just like kept, we just kept going. We went to Rockford and walked around.
Wow.
Like, it was a very, and then
yeah.
I think
keep it going.
We ended the date. And we got Steak and Shake used to do half off, like happy hour during certain times of like the day or like early morning. And I think we ended our time with a happy hour Steak and Shake milkshake because we just like kept talking
nice.
For that long. So
yeah.
That was my first date with Colin. But yeah.
Yeah. I can go next. Mine was a long time ago. I met Amy in high school. And so, I couldn't drive yet. My mom drove us. We went to this Mexican
so
restaurant called Chi-Chi's. I don't know if that's still a thing or not.
I think so. I feel like I've seen that. Do they have a buffet?
I don't remember.
Okay. Chi-Chi's
I don't know.
Maybe I'm thinking the wrong thing.
I love that.
Chi-Chi's.
And I forgot my wallet. And so I had to call my mom and have her come and bring me my wallet. Yeah. It was.
And you're married.
She went out with me a second time. I don't know why, but
she was okay with it.
Yeah.
Do you think you were just so nervous?
I think I was.
That you
yes,
just forgot.
Absolutely. Yep. The only thing I remember about that date is that I forgot my wallet.
That's funny.
That's really fun. That's a good story. Oh, man.
Yeah.
What about you, Sam?
Yeah. We were in college. So I was 19 and we went longboarding at a park. So pretty casual.
So edgy.
Yeah. And then we needed dinner and I hadn't thought that far ahead.
Man.
I just figured if it was going good, we needed dinner. We'd figure it out. It's a good problem to have because the date's still going. So we went back to my dorm where my roommate was in our tiny little kitchen and we had granola bars with peanut butter.
No.
Yes.
That was like my staple dinner in college.
So she really got a picture of the full Sam.
Yeah. And like she said it as kind as she could, but there was a sentence of like along the lines of, wow, you know, most guys take me out somewhere to eat. Like, I'm not used to this. This is really nice. Like, but it was kind of that undertone of like, wow, this is different, huh? But yeah. I didn't have three figures to my name most of college. So.
Yeah. Oh man. Well, thanks for sharing. I love hearing that. So now is our granola bars and peanut butter like a thing?
They're nostalgic.
Anniversary thing.
Yeah. Like our when I engaged, I'd set up a little spot in the park. Well, I had my guy friends do it, and it had like a longboard and granola bars. And we
That's
showed
really
up,
clutch.
And there was people looking at it, and they said, "Is this a memorial?"
Oh my gosh.
Like, we thought like something happened to some longboarders. Like, maybe this is their favorite snack. And I was like, this is romantic.
This is
like, we just got engaged. Like,
oh my gosh.
So, yeah. Learned a lesson with having the guys set it up. I don't know. But it's, yeah, it is reminiscent. Yeah. The granola bars and peanut butter.
Man. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fun. Man, I could talk about all of your stories for a long time. But let's get into the world of dating. I guess, first and foremost, I would love to know how you guys define like dating, like what is it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dating. When we talk about dating, we talk about dating as a path to marriage. It's got a destination. Dating has a purpose. It has a plan. So when we talk about dating, there are a lot of things that, come into play, but, if that's not the point, then we're not really on the same page.
Yeah.
It's great to start with the definition because we really believe that dating has a point and it has a purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. Well, and even as we talk about it, you know, you might be listening and think, oh, I know what dating is, but there's speed dating and blind dating and casual dating and serious dating.
Yeah.
I talked to a couple this last week who've been on three dates and I was going to ask how they met. And the guy kind of elbowed me and he said, we're not dating yet. Like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then I won't ask. You know, so dating has so many different variations and forms. And so, yeah, I'd say that's a great definition.
Yeah.
Something along the lines of you're intentionally moving closer to each other. Mm-hmm. And as Christians, you're moving closer, not for no reason, but with the purpose of getting married someday.
Yeah.
And as you say that too, like as Christians, the purpose of dating too, like I think there's such intent there. So when we look at the Bible and we look at scripture, what does God say about dating? Like, where is there a verse that I'm like, and this is how to date?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Nothing. The Bible doesn't say anything, Corey, cool. about dating. Excellent. Yeah. No, for real. It doesn't say. Dating is a modern invention, really in the 1900s. We didn't really have dating before that. It was either you would have somebody over and you would hang with your parents, and that was considered a date, and it was really purposeful and you were intending to get married, or it was arranged marriages up until pretty much modern history.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, there's been over the last 100 years, just a lot of changes and iterations to what it looks like to find a spouse. But yeah, the Bible doesn't really say a whole lot about it, but the Bible does say a lot about love and identity and singleness and relationships and marriage. And I think when we seek God in those moments, it's going to tell us a whole lot about how to date well.
How to do that and how, and what marriage is and should look like and reflecting Jesus in that too.
Yeah, totally. If you're asking the question, what does God say about this? He has a lot to say about love. You know, you could sum up the whole law of God in Galatians 5 is just love your neighbor as yourself. And so if you're wondering, well, God, how can you inform my dating life? Figure out what God says love is, you know. Is love passive? Is it fleeting? Is it here today, gone tomorrow? Like, oh, we fell out of it. No, not according to God's word. You know, love would be something that in a lot of ways is discipline, is a choice in a lot of ways. And John Mayer would say it's a verb. I think so. I think that's right. You know,
yeah, it's action.
It's more than just a feeling. So what does God say about dating? Well, he says a lot about love. We'd all agree that's an important part of dating.
I love that answer, especially now too. And you probably see it in your world of, like, you mentioned the casual dating, or it's like, oh, it's not, we're not there yet. And
totally.
So sure, define it however you want, but are you on this path to marriage? Then let's look at what the Bible says about love and what the end goal is. I love that. I love how
For
you answered that. Yeah.
Yeah.
When you talk about the history of dating, I feel like there was, and that's a relatively newer quotes concept. I remember hearing the term like courting.
Right.
And was that like where you would have your parents kind of approve that too? Which, interesting.
Yeah.
So I guess side question too, like what would your, this is, I'm throwing a curveball at you here, Brad, but I mean, your kids are like entering that world of dating. Have you said any, like, I want to meet the person that you are going to date, or like, have they ventured into that? And not to embarrass them.
It's that's really important to us, is they're having conversations and starting to think about dating. It's important that they have a concept and an understanding of what that looks like. And I think at this stage in life, they're at a point where they're making great relationships and they're learning how to have conversations and create deep friendships with the people around them. But they're 16. I mean, they're not at a point where they're ready to get married. And so there's a difference between what they're doing now and what dating will look like for them in the future. I mean, and that's, I just really believe why it's so important to bring some intentionality to dating. There's a lot of ways that you can think about it or look at it. I do a lot of studying at Starbucks and do a lot of writing at Starbucks. And there's a Starbucks in the Grand Rapids Airport. It's actually, it's a really nice Starbucks. I don't know if the last time you've
Do you go there to
traveled.
Work?
No, I don't. I don't go there to work because you only go to the airport if you're going to fly somewhere. And I wouldn't go to that Starbucks, even though it's awesome, if I wasn't flying somewhere.
Yeah.
And I think the same thing is with dating. If you're not gonna move this forward towards a relationship, then there's no point in dating. If you're not focused on what the next step towards marriage would look like, I've heard it said too that dating is like shopping without money. And if you go into the store and you don't have any money, you're going to end up either taking something that doesn't belong to you, or you're going to walk out disappointed because you didn't come there prepared. You didn't come there ready to take that next step towards actually purchasing something. that you want to buy. And so if you're, if dating doesn't have a point, it doesn't have a focus, it doesn't have an end game towards marriage, then you're going to leave disappointed, or you're going to take something that doesn't belong to you.
And that gets at the, like, why we date too, you know, looking at your 16-year-old, you know, kiddos, but then also, like, they're not, yes, eventually they're on a path to marriage, but not right now. Right. You know?
Yeah, I do feel like high school is fundamentally different. I feel like you could find yourself dating in your 60s, 50s, 40s, 30s, 20s, and you're an adult. You know, you have a level of independence, and you can move towards marriage. High school, I wish we had a different word for it. I wish we could call it, you know, it's the same word, but you're probably telling your boys to do something different as a 16-year-old as you would as if they were 26.
Right, when they're talking about going out for prom or something.
You're not shutting it down like, oh, you're never going to, you know, it's like, no, like,
it's different. It is,
And you probably don't want them, like, bringing their date home on every holiday and talking about naming their kids and wedding planning. It's like, no, you don't, you still get to be 16, you know, we need a new word. I don't know. Maybe we'll go back to court.
When you let us know the word.
I'll think of it and put it out there. It does get to that question of why, you know, and that's a question we should be asking, you know, why am I dating? Why to date? And what I would say, and what we say at Union, is, do you want to be married? Do you have a desire for that? If it's yes, there's your why. And if it's no, well, there's your why not. You know, it really is as simple as that, especially as Christians.
And I think there are a lot of people who would want to date, and they aren't dating right now. And I think there's something to be said about that too. I think that's okay. I think the Bible's pretty clear that dating isn't a season of life to be escaped. Singleness isn't a season of life to be escaped. But it's purposeful too. And there's some things that you can experience being single that you'll never get back if you date and get married. And so I think that a lot of times we want to move the conversation towards dating. We want to move it towards marriage. And sometimes I think God is saying, hold on, I'm not ready for you to experience that yet. But we just want to move that forward faster.
And that gets to the question of when. You know, you might say, okay, here's my why. Like, I want a spouse. That's what I feel is important in my life. Okay, well, now I got this other question, when? You know, because you can say why at 16, but is this the right time? You might say why at 28, and maybe it's still not, you know? We try to hone it into a 2-year time frame, taking the high school dating off the table. If you're 14, you don't have to get married at 16. But generally, if you could see yourself being married in 2 years, I think that's great. And if you're in your head saying, oh, 2 years is, that's really scary. Probably not ready to step into that godly dating scene then.
One of my favorite authors, Jonathan Pokluda, he writes a book called Welcome to Adulting. He defines it this way. He says, when should you date? When you're fully engaged with God, you're ready to become fully engaged to someone else. And I think that sums it up really well.
That sounds like a great book too. I like that a lot. Cause I think I've heard it even with my friends too, of, when, like, I have some things to work on, I'm not ready, you know, even though they do want that, they do long for, a marriage, a spouse, but, like they'll say there's still stuff wrong with me and I'm not ready, but we're never, and it's the age old thing of like, oh, well, you're never going to be ready, you know? So I love what he says there too, of like, when you're fully aligned or engaged with God, then, you know, then you're ready to be fully engaged with someone else too. Cause I think a lot of times it's like, well, I'm not ready, or I'm not perfect yet, to step into that, you know, and that can be a lot of pressure to put on yourself too. So
totally.
And there are some times I think you're not ready. I mean, if you just got out of a relationship, and maybe it was a difficult relationship to get out of, you're probably not ready. If you're not spiritually healthy, you're probably not ready. In the midst of like a big change, you're moving, or you're starting grad school, or, I mean, there are a lot of reasons to say, you know what, this isn't the best time for me to start dating someone.
The time's not to date. Potentially. Are good things to assess in yourself of like, am I getting ready for a big transition? Am I going on a move? Like, moving. Would you add, like, I don't know, and these aren't prescriptive, right? But new job, you know, absolutely. Like that, like big changes. Maybe that's not the best time to start
Right.
Because it does take work.
Yeah.
Right.
Pay attention to all that stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we kind of talked about like the, what is it? Why is it? When mm-hmm. does it happen?
Sure.
Okay. Now who? How do I, who mm-hmm. do I date? Mm-hmm. And I'm super excited for this part of the conversation too. Like, okay, we're all aligned. You know, I've been prayerful. I've sought good insight. Maybe this is too like a how do I pick who?
Yeah.
who to date? You know, how do I pick who? So, yeah, what would you guys say? Like who to date? How do we pick who to date?
Yeah. I mean, it's even as I say this, I know it's cheesy, but it is about what's underneath. You know what I mean? There's such a temptation to focus on looks, and especially with our online culture, you can just, you know, swipe through profiles so quick and see the look. And even this idea of like love at first sight, it's really based in a physical attraction, which is not what scripture says is the most valuable thing. I wish I had heard a story of, man, she was helping at the homeless shelter, and like, I wasn't attracted to her physically at all, but man, like, I got to date her. I got to, like, we just tend to not hear those stories because culturally, we put a lot of value in the physical. But when it comes to who to date, as Christians, you date other Christians. Yeah, you're not compatible if they're not a Christian. So, and you can see that from a distance. You know, you don't have to go on a lot of dates and get into a relationship to figure that out.
Yeah.
So number one, you know, focus on what's underneath and are they a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
That'll get you started. You know, that'll narrow it down to some degree.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I've heard that before. Would you say that's like the same thing of being equally yoked? Like, is that where that comes
yeah,
from?
Totally.
Of, yeah. Yeah. Being on the same page and yeah, in that regard.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that imagery is from like two oxen who are like the idea of a yoke is like a thing that goes over your shoulders. And so you're pulling the same weight, you're going in the same direction. And it's like kind of gets at the root of if, the most important thing about you isn't the same as the person you're dating.
Mm.
At some point you're going to start to pull in opposite directions and, you're going to pull the relationship apart. And so, yeah, starting with that, idea that your identity is both for both of you is rooted in the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness that we have in Jesus. I think that that has to be where you start,
man. I really think you guys could both write a book on dating. You guys have had some great one-liners, but yeah, you just said if you both have different things that are most important to you, right? I said that backwards. You said it much better, but I love that imagery, and that's a really good kind of lens to put up when you're dating someone. Like, what's their most important thing about them? What's
the
most, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What else goes into evaluating? Which that sounds bad, but you do. You have to evaluate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm
curious, like personally, I want to hear from you guys. Like, what were some things, you know, you dated, you married them, like you took it all the way, you know, what were some things maybe from your own personal experience that stood out or maybe tipped the scale when it came to your relationship?
Yeah, that's a good question. Mm. I shared this a little bit when Colin and I were on the pod, but I think like what's the most important thing about you? I loved Colin's like intelligence, and like he always had something different than I thought. And so like when we, especially about like the Bible and like our faith, like it was a lot more work to get him to share about that part of his life. So much so that I was like, is this going to work? I didn't doubt that he believed in God. I didn't doubt that he was a Christian,
sure.
But it was like spiritual leader kind of conversations and all of that. And you evaluate it in a different way when it's like, oh, this is forever, you know? And
yeah.
So, I think there were a few, like more difficult conversations before, like one before we got engaged and then one after we got engaged too, of like, okay, how's this going to work? Like I want, like, it was so like attractive that he was like so intellectual and like had deep thoughts, but I couldn't get to them. And so, I think it was a double-edged sword of like, I love that in you, but I don't get it, you know? And so, like, I think that was one thing that was, super attractive, but needed some more mining, you know?
Yeah. I think for me, Amy, I loved her character. I loved getting to know her better. I thought she was beautiful. We dated in high school, but then, went to separate colleges, and we still, talked a ton as we were going through college. And then, I think as we were moving towards engagement, Proverbs says that the best plans will fail for lack of counsel. Mm. And so I think being able to just pull in some people who could speak truth and help us see things that we couldn't see was really encouraging to have friends that we trust who said, this is the woman that God has for you. Mm-hmm. And to have my parents say, this is the woman that God has for you. And just people who are spiritually further down the road than I am, to just encourage me and, to support that decision. I think was super helpful.
Yeah. I love that, Brad, of like having people who know you, maybe who are a little bit more ahead, and can say like, this is a good thing, or to flip side, like, hey, this is what I'm seeing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is a good idea, you know, because, you know, and to, I don't know that this is necessarily like biblical, but like, hey, can they hang with your friends? You know, like, do they get along with the people who are in
absolutely.
Your world?
Yeah.
And I think too, I've seen some where it's like when they get a little bit quieter or don't come around as often when they're with their person, you know, it's like, hey, I don't actually even know you, you know? So I love that of getting other.
I totally relate to that. The counsel piece. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have voices who we let speak into our lives.
Yep.
And what do those voices say about the person you're with?
Yeah.
Also, McKenna did this thing where she was never on her phone when we were together. And that was so little, but just stood out to me where I was like, oh man, like we're really connecting here.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So that was a tiny thing, but
it's like you both saw something different in each other.
Yeah.
Like she's like, oh, he's not whining and dining.
Yeah.
And
right.
You're like,
yeah.
Oh, she's not on her phone all the time.
Right. Yeah. Those are little things, but the wise counsel. And then, once I knew, I was like, yeah, she really loves Jesus. I'm like, we're good. We can make it through anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I've heard before too, I work with students, right? And we do a dating and sexuality series, and we haven't done this explicitly, but I know when I was in youth group of like, my small group leader was like, okay, take some time, write down a list of like your dream list for your dream guy at some point.
Boy.
And of course I was like, blonde hair, surfer.
Yeah.
You know? like, what would you guys say? Like, is that a good thing to do? Or does that pigeonhole you
I'm so torn on that. I don't know. I've heard it going well. And I've also seen it like giving people expectations that they say no to everybody. So there's probably a way to do it, but I'm not, I don't know. I'm spoiled.
Yeah, there is a, I think what that does do and could be really healthy and helpful for our current culture is to say that you're not going to settle. And so to have some expectations before you even decide to date, I think could be really
like
healthy.
What are those non-negotiables?
Yep. But at the same time, if you're a girl and you realize, you know what, Jesus wouldn't even make my list because my expectations are so high, then I don't know, figure out what reality looks like, because we're all flawed and we're all going to make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And the person that you date and the person that you marry isn't going to be the person who's going to fulfill you ultimately. And they're not going to be the one who completes you, like our culture would say, because that person is only one other person, and that's Jesus who's going to do that. But sometimes I think we look for that and a date or in a spouse. And I would say a couple things. I'd say, I think you should date someone that you want your son to become like, or your daughter to become like.
Like they're modeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. That could be the future mom or dad to your kid. And what does that, look like as you, if you date with intentionality and you date with, you know, you can't do this on the first date, by the way, but like,
is that a pro tip?
As this is moving towards, something you could see becoming, a marriage, those are questions I think that you should think through.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think this is a big thing in culture too, and we don't have to get, super into it, but, like the whole while we're dating, like we could have a whole other podcast on like boundaries and like leading up until marriage too. Do you guys have any big like 2 points on that, or something that you guys are seeing in your world, or like is it, I guess the question I'm asking, is it really that big of a deal just to like to save sex until marriage? Like, is that really that big of a deal?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think sometimes it's couched in this question of, are we sexually compatible? And to be fair, there is a lot of confusion about sexual identity in our culture right now. Mm-hmm. And I have to remind myself that I am not living in that as a 20 whatever year old on my own, single, trying to figure that out. And so I think it is important to be sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. But I also think we can answer that question pretty straightforward of sexual compatibility. If you're a man and you're dating a woman, you are sexually compatible. You don't have to explore that before marriage. Mm-hmm. You're good. Mm-hmm. That's all there is to it. Mm.
There's a book in our Bible called The Song of Solomon, and there's a chapter in it. It's this, it's like this poetry written back and forth from a husband to a wife, like a letter. And there's a section in there where they talk about a sexual encounter that they had with each other as a husband and wife. Mm. And he says, your breasts intoxicated me. And so I think...
we went there, y'all.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. Wow. Uh-huh. But the reality is, I think there is an aspect of the way that God created and designed sex. He created it to be something so amazing and intense that it is something that impairs our judgment. It intoxicates us. Mm-hmm. It's this drug. And so I think you could be dating someone and realize 3 months in that this is not the person I'm going to marry. Mm. But you don't break up for 3 years because you introduce sex into the relationship and all of a sudden you're intoxicated with this person when all of these other things in the relationship aren't lining up and you're realizing and you know this is not going anywhere, but you have just impaired your judgment and you can't make the right call or the right choice because you're... intoxicated with sex.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I have not heard that word used like to describe that and like the almost like impaired judgment when it comes to that. And maybe it's not just because of that you introduce sex into it, but all those other things, like you said, leading up to it too. So
I think to go along with that too, just remembering you won't be fully satisfied sexually in each other until you have sex. Mm. And so if you push a boundary thinking then we'll be good, you're just going to push the next boundary and the next boundary and the next boundary. Mm-hmm. So understanding there will be frustration in that before you're married because you're not fully sexually satisfied.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Even just that of like, you will be unsatisfied.
And it's such a lie to think, oh, if we just push this, you know, and oh, we'll just move it a little further. It's like, you just keep pushing it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And we both talked to, I don't even know how many couples. I have yet to talk to a couple who is getting married or who is married who says, you know what, I just wish we made out more when we were dating. Yeah. Like no one says that.
Right. Yeah.
But we've talked to dozens of couples who have said, I wish we would have waited or I wish we would have, we're carrying this, you know, baggage into our marriage that we didn't really intend to. And
And you don't think about the after of that too. Mm-hmm. Or, and so it's maybe encouraging is the wrong word, but to hear those stories on the other side of it can be clarifying and helpful probably to some listening. So thinking through the who to date, some final thoughts too of I remember us talking about this earlier of like don't date someone forever. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about that idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, dating, it has a purpose. It has an end goal. It has a destination where you're going to. So if you're dating, it should have a timeline. Mm. So not dating someone forever means that you're committed to the timeline. I think Sam threw out earlier a kind of a 2-year scope. If you could envision yourself being married in 2 years, then maybe now's the time to start that dating relationship. But if you're dating someone for more than 2 years and it's not moving towards marriage, then maybe you're not dating intentionally. You think you're dating intentionally, but maybe you're not.
Mm, yeah. Just some good questions. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about this a little bit, but, the flip side of that, of like, I want to be married so bad and I keep trying to date. What encouragement would you have to them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think there is a desire to seek God's comfort and God's wisdom and God's just I think God will provide us contentment where we are. And I think sometimes we have this habit dating or kind of anything else where we just feel like if I make it to the next thing, then I'll be happy or that's where my hope is. And whether it's, you know, with the promotion or dating, or if it's when I finish college, like then I'll be happy. I think when we live in that mindset of always thinking our hope is going to be found in the next thing or the next step or the next purchase, I think we set ourselves up for failure and we miss the way God is moving and working and stretching us and encouraging us right now.
Yeah. That's really well said, Brad. Thanks for that.
Yeah.
Because the flip side, you know, of, whether you're not ready or you really, really are, you think you are ready.
Yeah.
So our last question to round out this episode is, okay, I think I'm ready. I want to give this a go or maybe give this another chance of dating. How to date well. That's the title of this episode too, is dating well. What are some encouragements or advice you would say for how to start this?
Yeah, totally. Conversations I have with guys quite often is even just that first conversation of you want to go out on a date. And I've seen it done well. I got some buddies who've nailed it. And man, I've seen it done poorly. You know, I've seen it done in a dark parking lot by someone's car. Don't do that. You know, don't corner anybody. Do it in the light. Do it with other people around. You know,
ask
let it
in
be.
The light. That's
yeah,
good.
Ask in the light. There you go. So that first part of how is just maybe a question of, hey, how do you even ask? And two words, just clarity and kindness. Let those be the staples of your ask. Okay, clear is kind. And mysterious is mean. And mysterious now might be intriguing, but that's going to just lead to sketchy.
So what
later
do you mean
on.
By mysterious? Like what would be an example of like what not to do?
Something along the lines of, hey, me and some of my friends, we're going to go downtown on this day. What are you doing that day?
Like, is
getting
this a
into
date
it
or
a
not?
Little bit. Yeah. Yeah. And there's no clarity in that. And it might be mysterious, like, ooh, is he into me? Is he not? and there's part of that that feels good and part of that you can embrace, but that should not be dominating the how to date, the how to ask, the how to get into it. So I'd say stay clear, stay kind. And if you get green lights, keep going. If you get red lights, stop. And I know that might sound silly, like, well, what do you mean? If she says anything along the lines of no thank you or hey, I think I have other plans that day, that's a red light, you know.
I love that clarity.
Like you just
please
don't,
define
then,
it for
you
us
know what yeah. I mean Let's, like yeah. If you ask for a number and she says oh yeah, I'm not really sure, okay, she's not sure, you know, then you can stop. It's not chivalrous to keep pursuing and running red lights, okay?
Yes.
Yellow lights, maybe it's like what you have in mind. You can go on a yellow. Mm-hmm. Keep going.
This imagery of a stoplight is so good on both ends, yeah. I think, too.
The pursuit's important, but you got to stop at red lights.
I think for the other side, too. I think to be able to clearly put a red light out there
totally,
to say,
right.
I think there's some courage. Well, and you said clarity and kindness. I think on the other side, there's some clarity and kindness that comes with responding to a request. And honoring the other person.
Yeah,
and
totally.
If you're both followers of Jesus, then that other person deserves your respect and honoring that person. So being able to say, no thanks, or you know what? I'm not interested in dating right now.
We get that all the time. Where it's like, oh, what do I say to this person? It's like, do you want to go out with them? No. Say no.
Say no.
Yeah.
I just need affirmation that I can say no.
Yeah. It's like, you know, we get that a lot where it's like, I just don't know how to respond. It's like, oh, right.
Mm-hmm. And our culture speaks to us and teaches us the opposite. No, it's okay just to give them a fake number. No, it's not. If you're a follower of Jesus, it's
right.
not okay.
Yeah.
It's okay just to ghost them. No, it's not. Again, if they're a follower of Jesus, then even if they're not a follower of Jesus, like people around us deserve our respect. And I think it's appropriate for us to be able to speak that clearly.
Yeah. And we're modeling it too. Like people watch what you do and how you treat other people too, you know, and it can be hard. I know for some friends too, like online dating, like again, that could be a whole other podcast probably. But like the going from, okay, we're talking online to getting the number to texting to then like, okay, then I've talked with them for maybe months, maybe a month, maybe a couple weeks.
Yeah.
And now I'm like sitting at a restaurant with them. And then I'm actually sitting with you. So I have to go on a few dates to try it out, but it's so hard. That feels hard to me too, the online dating thing. But I think that goes like, whether it's the stoplight or the clarity and kindness too, even in that of like, you know what, this isn't going to work. I don't think, you know, that's okay. Just be clear and kind in your DMs.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would get your foot in the door of like, how do I actually do this thing? I got a buddy, Kyle Reitzma, who goes to Ada Bible Church, and he'll speak at our group launches about community. And he says this thing, he probably stole it from someone. I don't know. But just that relationships are forged and they're not found. And just remembering that too, as much as you're looking for the right person and you're looking for who to ask, you're forging something with them. And so I think when in doubt, if you think there's a chance there, ask her or say yes to him and understand that you're, in my opinion, way better off spending 10,000 hours forging something than 10,000 hours looking for something.
Wow. That's really good. I'm just going to think about that for a second. That's good. Forged, not found. Cool. Well, this has been so good. Such good conversation. I have loved this. I feel like if I was a parent, I would be taking all the notes. Maybe you're listening and you have a friend going through some stuff and you can encourage them or send it to them, like this episode, or just take some things and grab coffee with them and encourage them too. I'm throwing another curveball real quick at our friends, Brad and Sam, but was there a prayer that you prayed, I guess, like during your dating journey or a verse or something that kind of helped you during that pursuit time, I guess, or a verse or, a prayer that you had?
Yeah, like while we were dating.
Yeah.
Maybe something that kept coming up.
Yeah. And if nothing, that's okay. It just popped into my head.
For me, really simple. We just wanted to be close to Jesus. Mm. And it's so easy to get lost in your own selfish desires or your sinful desires. And so just over and over again, Lord, we just want to be close to you.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I love that.
Proverbs 4 says that to guard your heart. Mm. And I think dating can be a time and a season where you just get so... it kind of in the mix and in the mess. And sometimes you can't see clearly. And I think, just praying that God would guard your heart as you date and as you enter into relationships, so that you don't give your heart to someone that you shouldn't, and, you don't let someone steal your heart. But you give it to God and you let God guard it and protect it and watch over it. And then when you're ready to enter into a relationship, you trust him to help you take that step too.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome. Was that something that you kind of held tight to during like that pursuit of Amy?
Yeah. Or? You know what? I don't even remember.
That was a long time ago. It wasn't that long ago, Brad. Yeah. Oh, I think for me really quick too, it was just like the open-handedness of like what is next and what is supposed to happen. And we kept getting those yellow or green lights. Then it's like, okay, it felt like forging that. And so like, Lord, I'm going to keep my hands open to whatever you have open for me too. So
totally.
Yeah. Well, friends, thank you so much. Thanks for, I know not the word expert, but lending your insight on this topic. I hope it encourages someone or you can pass it along to someone else. So we've just had a really great time today. So together, friends, thanks for joining us. Again, if it's impacted you or you have people that you think you can share it with, go ahead, share that. You can comment and share and like our podcast as well on any listening platform. But for the whole Together team and myself, Corey, thanks for listening to Together today. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to Together. We hope you've learned a thing or two. If you find the podcast helpful, please go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your listening platform, leave a comment, and give us a 5-star rating. If you'd like more information on Ada Bible Church and its ministries, or someone to pray or dialogue with about your marriage, go online and check out our website at adabible.org.